Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Everyone say Resurrection Sunday. Today we are here on Resurrection Sunday, and 2 days ago we actually celebrated Good Friday, which in itself wouldn't have been a very good Friday for the disciples on the day that Jesus was crucified. And yet now on the other side of the cross, the other side of the grave, we can actually call it Good Friday because we come to see what it is that Christ has done for you and for us. See, Good Friday was a day where Jesus Christ paid the price for all humanity as the atonement for our sins. What's that? What does that mean? It means He took our place. That every single one of us were in a place of rebellion. Every single one of us, the Bible says, has fallen short of the glory of God, fallen short of His intentions for us. And the issue with sin is it separates us between God, who is holy, who is perfect, and humanity, who have been created to be in that relationship with Him. So we came together on Good Friday, and really across the world, there's a moment in the day across Easter when the world stops because of a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And not just His life, but He actually paid the price. We come together not for Easter eggs, as good as chocolate is, but we come together because on Good Friday, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, the price that we deserve to pay. He took it all upon Himself. His hands were nailed to the tree that became a cross. His ankles, His feet were nailed to a tree for you and I. And so Good Friday is about Jesus paying the price for our sin that was causing death in us spiritually. We come today on Resurrection Sunday celebrating the reality that because and only through His resurrection, you and I are able to have new life and brought out of the walking grave that we were living in spiritually. There's a story of an African Muslim who gave his life to God and began following Jesus Christ and following the life of Christianity. And when this African Muslim did that, his friends came to him and he said, "Hey, why did you stop following Islam and the teachings of Muhammad and follow Christianity?" And he says to them this. He says, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were walking out your life and you came to a fork in the road and you just didn't know which way to go. And standing before at that fork in the road were two men, one was dead and one was alive. Whom would you ask which way to go?" See, this man had a revelation that Muhammad had once lived, but he died, and he had not raised from the grave. And yet by the man, in the name of Jesus Christ, he had lived, and he had been crucified, and he had been buried, but he had been raised from the grave. See, this man had a revelation that there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of teachings, but there is only one that hinges on the reality and the truth that there is a resurrection through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So my prayer for us is that we would have a revelation like this man, that we would not come to just believe in a day called Good Friday where our sins have been paid for, but that we would know the necessity, not just of the crucifixion of Christ, but His resurrection. Because it's not either or, it's both and in conjunction with one another. See, Jesus is alive today.
Amen.
What's the significance of Resurrection Sunday? What's the significance of us celebrating that He is raised from the grave? Well, the significance is that the cross without the empty grave is a temporary price for an eternal issue. It's a temporary payment for an eternal issue. If you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and open to the New Testament. There's a book called 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 15 today. If you don't have a Bible, some of it will come up on the screen today. But I want to encourage us to take notes today, because often in a moment where we can actually allow God to speak to us, or maybe we're in a church environment for the first time, would you just allow these words today to actually come and be reality for you, because they are not just theory, they are truth. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's a man by the name of Paul And he's writing to the Corinthians. There was a church. It was a church like this where believers had begun to join together and others from the community were beginning to join together as well. Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read it from verse 14. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." He says, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we have testified about God and that He has raised Christ from the grave. Yet, whom He did not raise, it is true that the dead are not raised." What's Paul saying? He's like, we are testifying and preaching of God and Jesus Christ that He was raised from the grave. But if He was not raised from the grave, then we're misrepresenting God because we're telling something that's not actually true. Verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." See, one of the saddest things for any person to believe is that Jesus Christ was simply crucified upon the cross. Because if that's true and the story ended there, then there would be no hope for eternity. Because He wouldn't just been another man who had teachings and spoke things out, and yet the reality of them not coming to pass, because He declared that He's the Messiah, which means that He's the prophetic fulfillment of God's restoration of all humanity for all time, paying the price for our sins. That was the teachings of Jesus. And so one of the saddest things would be to think that we simply celebrate the cross during Easter and the sacrifice that was paid. We must remember what He's done, and we celebrate what He's done, but that's not the end of the story. If it is, we have no hope for eternity. See, Paul goes on in verse 19, he says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only," meaning of life and death here on earth. If that's all that our hope is in Christ, for maybe a set of behavior modification, or maybe just something to do on a Sunday, or a group of people to join together with because we sing similar songs and we say similar things and we maybe dress a certain way during the year, maybe we go and actually read from the same book. He's saying if our hope is simply to have our life here on earth impacted, then we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 2, "If the dead are not raised, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." There's no hope or reality of the resurrection, then we might as well just pack up our stuff and go home. Because it means that Christianity only impacts our life here on earth, how many years that we have. And yet that's not the reality of what Christ has done. It's not the reality of the Word of God. See, there are eternal implications in not just the crucifixion, but the resurrection. And I pray today that you and I would have a rich revelation of the understanding and the need to live in light of His resurrection. See, it might sound silly and obvious for some of us today to be like, "Don, I believe in Jesus, and I am a part of a church, and I attend, and I'm a part of a life group, and doing all these things. Why are you speaking to a group of believers around the resurrection and that needing to be a revelation that I have?" Well, it might sound silly in this moment, but the reality is not everyone believes that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave. In the United States, in 2020, middle of that year, there was a survey done by a research group, and they found that it was about 52% of American adults believe that Jesus was a great teacher and nothing else. 52%, they estimate, of American adults in the United States believe that Jesus Christ was a good teacher and nothing else. And you might be like, oh, yeah, I can see that, how people in the world would think that. Well, what's even more alarming is they began to actually do that survey into Christians. And what they found is that even within the professing, so people that said that they were Christians, professing evangelical Christians, they responded to the survey, and only 30% of professing Christians believed that Jesus was a great teacher and nothing else. You mean to tell me that you believe that Jesus Christ, you believe in his teachings, and yet you only think that he's a teacher, that he was crucified maybe, but not raised from the grave? See, what we need to understand is that Jesus paid the price, but he was also raised so we have eternal life. And if what he claims is true in his teachings, which he claimed to be God, well, if they're false, then he was a lunatic. And if they're true, then they're eternally important. But the only thing is, Jesus can't just be a great teacher. You can't say, I like some of his teachings and not all of his teachings, because he actually taught that he was the Son of God. And so if the teachings of Jesus all were founded in him and were centered on the cornerstone that he was the Son of God, we have to recognize he cannot just be a great teacher. He's either a lunatic or he really is the Savior for all humanity. And so I want to tell us today, really ask us the question, are we really living in light of a conviction and a belief that he was raised from the grave?
Yeah. Good,
because our belief in Jesus has to be centered on his atonement for our sins, but his resurrection. Because it's not just here on earth that we have a hope in him, it's for all eternity. And as we're going to see today, this really does have to take root in our hearts. It has to begin to grip the way that we live our life. Because if we truly believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, well, then there are some things in our life that need to begin to shift and move as we are united in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Why is Christ's resurrection a pivotal part of our faith? Because his resurrection means that you and I can receive life transformation. Paul writes to another group of believers, another church at the time, and they are in Rome. And he writes in Romans 6, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Listen to this. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Church, listen to this. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. That's good news today. See, the only reason why we can actually have transformation of life, have newness of life as the Bible calls it, is because Christ himself was resurrected from the grave. See, every single one of us have sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And the reality is, because of Adam and Eve, our original father and mother, they chose to turn away from God and rebel. And since that point, the sin nature actually is what each and every one of us were born into. And the sin nature is simply loving and choosing the things that are personal pleasure and desire. So you can call that selfishness. And so every single one of us has been born with the nature of selfishness. And the only reason why you and I are able to have a new nature a transformed life is because Jesus not only paid for our sin, but he was raised to life. He literally had a new nature. See, Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, and he's fully God and fully man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit through a virgin named Mary, and so he was fully God and fully man, and so his life in the fully manness was going to come to an end. See, he was crucified and he died, but then he was raised in a new nature.
Amen.
A new body.
Yes.
Transformation that came through death. The only reason why you and I can actually be transformed in the way that we think, that we speak, and the way that we live is because of a belief in being united with Jesus Christ. Church is not about behavior modification. As I shared a couple of weeks ago, we are only changed by embracing God's grace. And his grace isn't a license to indulge our flesh to do whatever we want, but it's also not a rule of a religious legalism that we have to follow. And no, it's by God's grace that we are saved.
Yeah.
And right now, what I actually want to do, I just want to go a little bit deeper on what it looks like to have a new nature. Because sometimes we can read the Bible, maybe we hear someone speak about having a transformation of life and a newness of life, and yet sometimes it can either go over our head or it can be an illusion that's just a theory. But the reality is when we are united with Jesus Christ, we say yes to him as our Lord and Savior, we receive him into our life, his forgiveness, he fills us with the Holy Spirit, and then as we're not just filled with the Holy Spirit, but immersed in the Spirit, what happens is the power of God begins to work in us from the inside out, and we begin to have a new nature. See, who I was 12 years ago is not who I am today. And it's not because I've got a button-up shirt on and I don't have cornrows anymore. It's because I've got a new nature. See, I had desires and passions, and I was in bondage to things in my life that were of the flesh nature, the sinful nature. There were things that I wanted to do that were not good to be done and to do. And yet it was through only Jesus Christ that my nature of my heart, my spirit began to be transformed. See, what we need to understand is it's only by the power of God that you and I can have eternal life, that we can have resurrected life.
Amen.
Do we have any ambulances in the room? Any ambulance drivers? Any medical staff that have provide CPR, different things on people? No? Okay. You know CPR? Okay. If there's some person that being held by ambulance drivers, and they bring them into the ambulance, and they're on the way to the hospital, and then on the way there, the person flatlines, I'm pretty sure the ambulance driver doesn't just look at them as they're now in the dead state, because they flatline, there's no longer a response in them. I'm pretty sure the ambulance driver doesn't look at them and say, come on, you can do it. Just declare yourself in mindfulness that you will come to life. I'm pretty sure ambulance drivers don't just start quoting a whole bunch of self-help over a body that's dead. Why is that? Because that's ludicrous. That would be lunacy, because a body that's dead is unresponsive. The body that is dead cannot help itself. And so I'm pretty sure when it comes to an ambulance driver, they don't just start telling them, come on, work your way, think of the universe. The universe is here for you. Just start to, yep, get that PC sign. Yep, yep, yep. No, because the body can do nothing. What does an ambulance driver do? Well, most often they grab a defibrillator and they take this defibrillator and they exert external power to a body that's unresponsive, and it's only through an external greater power of the defibrillator that a body that is flatlined and unresponsive can now be resuscitated, revived, and brought back to life.
Amen.
The reality is every single one of us are spiritually dead. And in a similar, minuscule, small way, the defibrillator and the external power, it's kind of like what God's done through his Spirit in you and I. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a far, immensely greater, more significant way. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can actually bring life to our spiritual death, that can bring transformation to our body, because each and every one of us, as we're dead in sin, dead in the flesh nature, are unresponsive to the things of God.
Yeah.
See, before I actually said yes to Jesus Christ and received forgiveness and salvation to my life, I opened my Bible a number of times. I grew up in the United States and was brought up going to church and things like that, and I opened the Bible a number of times. And I closed it, because nothing stood out to me. It just seemed like ink and paper to me. And I'd open it, and I'd read it in the church, and the pews, and things like that, and I'd just go through it, but nothing stood out. See, what was happening, I was dead in my spiritual nature, and I was unresponsive to the Word of God. It's only by the Spirit of God that you and I are able to have resurrected life. And I was just reminded this morning, before coming in today, that it was only after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, where I began to read through the book of Matthew, and I came to a point in Matthew 24:35, where these words that I had probably read before, I'm not quite sure, began for the first time to actually pierce in me. And Matthew 24:35 says that the heavens and the earth will disappear and fade away, but Jesus says, my word will never disappear and never fade away. And it pierced me. And in that moment, I had a great revelation of the decision that I had made, knowing that it wasn't just for my time here on earth, but for all eternity. See, the only reason why his words can never fade is not because they've been scribed upon a book, but because he is the word, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The only reason why there's eternal salvation in Christ is because he's been raised from the grave. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. That's good.
And so what is a life that's made new by the Spirit of God look like? Well, it looks like we are no longer bound by the consequences and the bondage of sin. It means that each and every one of us, because of Christ's sacrifice, are no longer bound by the nature of sin in our life. There's an overwhelming desire to choose the things of an old life, the things that are not of God, the things that are not good for eternity. Excuse me. Now, what it doesn't mean is that we won't be tempted, because we will be. Because we still live in a fallen world where Christ has not yet returned. So we will not be overcome. We're not to be overcome by temptation and sin, but we will be tempted. Each and every one of us will be tempted. But the power is this, as it says in Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is the same Spirit that's working in you and I to bring resurrected life, to bring in newness of life. And so a transformed life is one that's free from the bondage of sin.
That's good.
As I mentioned before, there was a whole lot of things I was doing before I was following Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot of times where I actually tried to stop doing some of those things. But it was only through the Spirit of God that certain addictions and things on my life were broken. I tried my own self-effort, self-will, but it was only by the Spirit of God that I was set free from the bondage of sin. Transformed life, newness of life in Christ looks like we are able to overcome the powers that are at work in the world, and the spiritual attacks that come up against us. If you've never heard before, friend, there's an enemy of your soul, and his desire, his strategy, his intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light. He's not walking around with a pitchfork and pointy ears and a tail. No, he walks around disguising himself in a way that is appealing to us. And then yet, as believers, there's times when we can actually have oppressiveness. There's attacks that can come against us. And yet, in Jesus Christ, you and I are able to overcome the spirit that's in the world. We're able to overcome the attacks that will come up against us and the enemy of our soul who wants us to live in fear. See, his intentions is to steal, kill, and destroy. But in Christ, as he declares in John 10:10, we have life and life abundantly. It's good news, isn't it, Jake? See, I've been in some pretty intense environments since I gave my life to Jesus. Some stuff that might make your skin crawl. I've seen people that have been doing some very weird things. It's not very human-like. And yet what I've come to see, even if at points I feel like running, fleeing, is that there is no power greater than the Spirit of God. There's been some intense environments that I've been in where it's very obvious someone is oppressed and under the influence of demonic spirit. And I can tell you, there's been lots of times where I felt like fleeing and being freaked out in my flesh. But it's in those moments where I'm reminded, the Word of God declares, we've not received a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That he who is within us as believers is greater than he who is within the world. See, you and I, because of Christ's resurrection, have the authority to declare that any kind of spiritual attacks that come up against us will not prevail, will not overcome us. And so we need to exercise that as we are men and women of faith. That might freak some people out today. But just know this, there is nothing that can stand against the name and person of Jesus Christ. I've seen people's complete demeanor and eyes and body set free from something that they're bound by for decades. At the name of Jesus Christ, which means the anointed one.
Yes.
It's him, his anointing that breaks bondages. And so when you and I come up in areas of our life where it feels like there's a spiritual wall and something coming against us, can I just tell us today, because Christ was raised from the grave, Romans 8:11 declares you have that same spirit living within you. And so moments, even maybe right now, you're a little bit freaked out. Can I just remind you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that fear is not to overcome you, because he who is within you is greater than he who is within the world. Transformed life means that you and I are able to have the desire and the ability to follow God's ways. Philippians 2:13 says it is by and only by the Holy Spirit that you and I have the desire and the ability to do God's will. It's only because Christ was raised from the grave in our belief and unity in him that you and I are able to desire to do his will, and then we're only able to have the ability by the Holy Spirit to faithfully follow his ways. Can you see today the necessity of Christ's resurrection?
Yeah.
The necessity of the Holy Spirit being at work in you and one of the greatest things for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ that is meant to be the reality of newness of life is that you and I are made, meant to live overcoming the fear of death.
Yep.
Romans 6:9 says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Listen to this. Death no longer has dominion over him. There's a point in my life after making a decision to follow Jesus where it wasn't every single day, but it was quite alarming and consistent for me where I'd be driving and I'd have thoughts of the car hitting me head on, and I had all these different thoughts of sudden harm or sudden disaster, and at just different points in time, I just began to be fearful, and I wasn't sure what was happening, wasn't sure what was going on, but there'd just be different points where I was just fearful that going to a place or going to do certain things or even in my sleep, certain things would happen. And I began to be ruled at different points in time by fear and anxiety of sudden disaster and sudden death. And the grace and the goodness and the Spirit of God through his word and through prayer, God began to reveal to me that I wasn't living in the revelation of his resurrection. That I had received his forgiveness. I said yes to following him, but I wasn't truly living with the conviction that he was raised from the grave. And what God began to reveal to me and show in my heart is that my decision to follow Jesus, yes, was in light of my past life and my sin, but it was actually just for my forgiveness of sin. It wasn't for an eternal hope and future past my life here on earth. The reality is that there's maybe a number of us in this room today that need to have a revelation truly that Christ was raised from the grave. Because it's in that place where no matter what happens to us here on earth, we're still able to live faithfully and hopefully in Jesus Christ. Just as I said at the beginning, when Zephaniah said that to me, he's like, and then I would die and I'd be dead. And I was like, wow, that's pretty full on. He's like, yeah, but I'd be with Jesus, so it's okay, because I believe in him. I was like, amen. So I actually believe right now that there's people in this room today, and there's too much of your life that's ruled by fear. Too much of your life is ruled by fear. Can I tell you on the other side, if you allow Jesus Christ to actually speak into your heart and to bring the comfort of his peace, he declared he would never leave you nor forsake you. His gift isn't of what the world gives. His gift is everlasting. He says his gift is peace. God declares in his word that where there is perfect love, fear cannot be.
Yeah.
See, when you and I have a true revelation that our sin has been paid for, and that Jesus was buried in the grave, but then he was raised from the grave, our life here on earth is no longer bound and lived by what happens to us or what doesn't happen to us while we breathe our breath here on earth. Proverbs 3 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. This is a promise for those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see that the early church and the disciples, and since that point, countless men and women and young people have lived by the revelation that because Christ was raised from the grave, their hope is no longer bound here on earth, but it's in heaven. See, as Christians, when we begin to live by this revelation, we begin to have a transformed life because we're able to live free, not worrying and overwhelmed by what may or may not happen to us, what our boss says to us or what someone decides to do to us. Now we are bound by the revelation that whether we die or we live here on earth, we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Knowing that even at the point of death, by the way, all of us will die, so that's relevant for every single one of us. All of us will die, but even at the point of death, we actually are victors. Bible declares that death no longer has dominion over Jesus Christ, meaning that his spirit, if it's living in you and in I, actually are able to live in the now and not yet of that resurrected life. See, our hope shifts and our hope changes. Because this is just a small aspect of all eternity that we're going to spend with our Lord and Savior. And so our life here on earth is important. Our life here on earth is vital. Our life here on earth is significant. But if you and I were to grasp this revelation of Christ's resurrection, I'm telling you today, our life will look different.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a man by the name of David infirm. His wife. And 2 years ago, we had Alpha Online. Through friends, they were invited to join Alpha. It's simply an environment to ask questions and seek the questions of life and faith. And through that environment, being able to come with questions and doubt, concerns, Fern had a revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of everything I've already said today, but what he's done through the cross, the resurrection. Not too long after that, her husband David began to see transformation from his life. Began to see there's something different. Newness of life. Often we may not be able to describe it with words, and people may not be able to describe it with words, but that's the description of living in this revelation, a newness of life. Because of that, David himself had a revelation of Jesus Christ. He knew that he knew that he knew. He needed to say yes to Jesus. They began to follow and live out relationship with Jesus. And not too long after that, David was diagnosed with cancer. Not too long after that, the cancer began to escalate and increase in his life. And my prayer for them was, God, I pray they would hold on to that seed of salvation. God, I pray that they would know whether life or death, their hope in you is secure and is found. And to be honest, I was quite surprised and taken by their confidence in God. A man and a woman who had only had months of relationship with Jesus Christ. To be quite honest, in my natural sense, I began to worry for your salvation. I began to worry that you would be so concerned and worried about your body being riddled, David, with cancer, that you would turn away and walk away from your faith in Jesus. But you persisted in your faith, and the words that came out of her mouth was, we hope in Jesus Christ. They had only known him for months, and they caught a revelation that their hope in him was not bound to what happens to their physical body here on earth, but what would be resurrected in eternity with Jesus and again at his return. I'm telling you today that they lived in that reality before his healing. But sure enough, his story, their story, as the cancer began to increase, was riddled through his body. They've got photos and scans going in his blood. Scans showing it goes all throughout his body. Kept praying, kept believing, and they kept declaring, no matter what, their faith was in Jesus. Within a number of months, another scan, and the cancer began to decrease. Doctors like, that could be normal, could be the procedures, could be things happening. A number of months later, began to decrease again. Long story short, over the last year now, David's gone to three different scans, and the cancer in his body has been completely eradicated. You are walking. The doctor said, we have no answer. There's nothing we can do. They're still trying to figure it out themselves. Some of the most skillful people in medicine, doctors, specialized doctors, did not have an answer. His story was that his body was healed. Yet the greatest thing is not just that his body was healed, but that their faith was founded in whether I die here on earth or I'm healed. Jesus is my Savior. I'm telling you today, we have a revelation that Jesus Christ was truly raised from the grave. You and I are able to overcome bondage of sin, temptation. We're able to overcome any spiritual attacks and things that come against us. You and I are able to have the desire and the ability to follow God's ways, but we're also able to live without a fear and a worry of death in our time here on earth. And this is what I believe God wants to leave us with today. A life here on earth is important. It's significant. It's the only life we have to live. It's the only time we can choose to say yes to Jesus or say no or reject him. And so it's eternally important. And yet when we make that decision, you and I are able to have newness of life, a transformation where our hope is found in eternity, not just here on earth. Would you all stand to your feet? See, what's the hope that we have because Jesus Christ was raised from the grave? The hope that we have is we are united with him in his resurrection and eternal life. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. You know what Jesus declares for you and I? He declares that in his Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, he says, why would he have told us that he was going to prepare a place for us? But he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you myself, that where I am, you may also be. He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16 says, God sent his one and only Son to pay the price that you and I were deserving to pay, but Christ paid it as the only rightful and able sacrifice to atone for our sins, so that all those, any person, is no exclusion, all those who believe in him will have eternal life. And John 17:3, Jesus declares, and this is eternal life, that they may know me, the only true God, that Jesus Christ, whom was sent for us. Some people, Easter might be a religious holiday, but for those who have encountered Jesus Christ, it's an eternally significant day where we remember that we were all dead in sin, we were all deserving of punishment, we were all deserving of wrath, but God sent his one and only Son to pay the price for our sins so that all who believe in him would receive forgiveness, salvation, and have eternal life. The Bible declares, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived, he died, and raised from the grave, declaring him as the Lord, you will be saved. My prayer, church, is that we would come to receive and experience the revelation of Christ's resurrection. And that we begin to live in that, not bound by things in this world, by the Spirit of God. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer for those saying yes to Jesus. We're going to pray for some people. Just allow God to do a number of things today. Before that, we're actually going to worship. And I'm believing right now that as I've spoken, as the Spirit of God's been moving, he's been highlighting things for a number of us and people. And he's going to actually set some people free right now. You've been living a life in fear, worry. Would you allow God right now to overcome that and show you it's by his peace and his Spirit that you're able to live free from that? Church, Christianity has become a religious checklist or religious thing that you do. Would you allow right now the freshness of the gospel, power of God's presence right now just to revive your heart, speak into your heart, speak in your spirit, say, son, daughter, would you come, live with me, receive my spirit. C.S. Lewis declared that if Christianity is false, it's of no importance, but if it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Friends, on this Resurrection Sunday, I believe God right now is wanting to do some resurrection in us.
Yeah.
As people today, you need healing in your body. As people today, you need healing in relationships. As people today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm believing right now that as we worship and as we pray, through the Spirit of God, you have the opportunity to be set free from anything that's holding you back, from engaging that relationship with him. Did you experience breakthrough in your life? Jesus declared in his word, forgive as I have forgiven you. He goes on past that and say, and then you will be healed. I believe today that there is some unforgiveness that maybe some of us are holding on to. And I believe that as we are willingly able in this moment to actually declare with words out of our mouth, God, I forgive myself. God, I forgive this person. God, I forgive that thing that happened to me when that person did. I believe right now there's going to be an overwhelming joy that's going to come into your heart. and things are going to begin to shift and to change, to unlock in you. Whether that's for you or someone else or anything else that I mentioned today, when we worship in this moment right now, would you just let all distractions fall away? Not worry about the person left and right, behind you, in front of you. Would you just, with your eyes closed, picture you're standing before Jesus Christ. He's looking at you with a smile, with complete warmth, saying, "Here I am. Would you choose me? Live in my spirit, live in my power, live in relationship with me." I believe that's what God's doing right now. That visual image, you stand before each and every one of us today saying, "Come, would you choose me?" Let's worship.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.